You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is a Christian's behavior should reflect Christ within. My text is Colossians 3, 1 and 2, which states, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your minds on things that are above, contrast with the things that are on earth," and refers to pursuing a deeper knowledge of Christ himself and all that belongs to living with and for him. This would include seeking first the kingdom and living a life worthy of his name. Christ is presently seated at the right hand of God in a position of authority where he can make intercession with the Father. The false teacher may have claimed to have heavenly secrets, but Paul dismisses his theology as earthly. Verse 3 states, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul uses the language of Isaiah and the Psalms to express the security of the people of God as they trust in him. Verse 4 states, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Believers know that Christ is their life. Perfection and glory will be theirs when Christ returns, when they appear with him in glory. As Christians are freed from the ceremonial law, they must walk the more closely with God in gospel obedience. As heaven and earth are contrary one to the other, both cannot be followed together, and attention to the one will weaken and abate affection to the other. Those that are born again are dead to sin because its dominion is broken, its power gradually subdued by the operation of grace, and it shall at length be extinguished by the perfection of glory. To be dead, then, means this, that those who have the Holy Spirit modifying within them the lust of the flesh are able to despise earthly things and to desire those that are heavenly. Christ is at present one whom we have not seen, but our comfort is that our life is safe with him. The streams of this living water flow into the soul by the influences of the Holy Spirit through faith. Christ lives in the believer by the Spirit, and the believer lives to him in all he does. At the second coming of Christ, there will be a general assembling of all the redeemed, and those whose life is now hid with Christ shall then appear with him in his glory. Do we look for such happiness? And should we not set our affections upon that world and live above this? Verse 5 states, "Modify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death, because believers have died with Christ. They can get rid of sinful practices." The language of putting to death indicates that Christians have to take severe measures to conquer sin. Watchfulness and prayerfulness against it will be the first steps, with self-discipline following. Sexual immorality refer to every kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. Five of the items that Paul lists have to do with sexual purity, stressing the importance of bringing this area of life under the control and lordship of Christ. Greed, sexual sin, and other vices can intrude into one's relationship with God, taking his place as a focus of devotion. Verse 6 states, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." The wrath of God is coming in line with the Old Testament prophets who spoke of the day of the Lord as a time of coming wrath. Paul reminds the Colossians that God will suddenly intervene in human history and will hold everyone accountable. Those who live evil lives will face final judgment. Verse 7 and 8 state, "In the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put them all away." Paul lists five more vices that Christians need to get rid of. These five all have a bearing on social relationships among believers. Verse 9 and 10 state, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Paul is saying here that we should always tell the truth one to another. Since we are now Christians, our behavior must reflect our new identity. Being renewed in knowledge is an ongoing process, wherein every day we are made more and more like Jesus. Verse 11 states, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Here there is not Greek and Jew. There are no status distinctions among the new covenant people of God. No one has a special claim on God or is treated with less dignity than any other. Scythians were a people group located along the northern coast of the Black Sea. To the Greeks, the Scythians were a violent, uneducated, uncivilized, and altogether inferior people. In contrast to such discrimination and prejudice against other races and cultures, Paul shows that Jesus, who is all and in all, binds all Christians together in equality, irrespective of such differences. It is our duty to modify our members, which incline to the things of the world. Modify them, kill them, suppress them as weeds of vermin, which spread and destroy all about them. Continual opposition must be made to all corrupt workings, and no provision made for carnal indulgences. Occasions of sin must be avoided, and lust of the flesh and the love of the world, and covetousness, which is idolatry, love of present good and of outward enjoyments. It is necessary to modify sins, because if we do not kill them, they will kill us. The gospel changes the higher as well as the lower powers of the soul and supports the rule of right reason and conscience over appetite and passion. There is now no difference from country or conditions and circumstances of life. It is the duty of everyone to be holy, because Christ is a Christian's all, his only Lord and Savior, and all his hope and happiness. FDA proposes putting nutrition info on the front of food packages by Berkeley Lovelace Jr. and Marina Koff, January 14, 2025. The proposed front of package labels would include saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar, along with whether products contain high, medium, or low amounts of the nutrients, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The FDA proposed front of package label would include the amount of saturated fat, sodium, and added sugars, and whether these amounts are considered low, medium, or high. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is God's love. The prison industry in America is big business, and some have called it the new Jim Crow. On a recent prison documentary, one of the inmates stated that she felt love and respect in prison that she never felt at home. She said that her father left home when she was young and that her mother was not around much. She said the pain of not feeling love drove her to the pipe, and when she hit that cracked pipe, it took away her pain. Please understand that we can all endure a great deal of pain and what we call not fair life experiences when we know who loves us. Everybody wants to be loved. However, sometimes we do not receive the love we desire. Have you ever felt unloved? The pain of not feeling love sometimes drives us to make unwise decisions. Decisions like turning to illegal drugs, alcohol, abusive relationships, or other addictions that may not be in our best interest. However, be encouraged because there is good news. From Genesis to Revelation, from Earth's greatest tragedy to Earth's greatest triumph, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest heights can be couched in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16. Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is an alphabet of grace and a table of contents to the Christian hope. In this great verse, we see the highest statement of theology, as it portrays God's nature as a God who deeply loves. It portrays the genius of soteriology as it shows how God planned to rescue mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Millions of people read the verse, but only a handful trust it. Some people believe it's too good to be true. Many people misunderstand God's attribute of love. God is love does not mean that everything is happy and sweet, or that God's love could not possibly allow punishment for sins. God's holiness and divine law demand that all sin be punished. However, God's love provided a plan of redemption and salvation for a lost world. By that plan, Jesus came from heaven to give his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for our sin. But we must respond. We must believe. We must commit our lives to Jesus Christ and trust him as our Lord and Savior. Do you have an attitude of gratitude for God's love? Will you respond to his call to eternal salvation by faith in him? If so, everlasting life is yours. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Let's go!